Lay of the Land is an independent product and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. I want to start the show this evening by saying thank you to all of our veterans. Today, of course, is Veterans Day. Also want to pay tribute to the people who are serving in the military today throughout the world. Sometimes we forget the folks that are out there serving right now, and we have them all in our thoughts this evening. So last week we had a trivia question about how long the Farmers Union had existed, and the guest gave the start date, so I thought everybody would figure that out, but nobody did. So we don't have a winner. Also, I want to go on to tell you a little bit about a special show that's coming up on Thanksgiving. We're going to have a special Thanksgiving show, and we really want everybody to be aware of that special program. It's going to be a focus on Thanksgiving on the farm or on the in the country in the 1950s. And my guest for that show will be our friend Jerry Apps, who, of course, knows a lot about the history of things that have happened in rural Wisconsin. And I'm happy to participate in that show. I think you'll find it an interesting way to conclude your Thanksgiving evening. The show is from 7 to 8. And really, it's an opportunity for you to invite your grandchildren or your children to have a little sampling of what a country Thanksgiving was like. Some of you folks out there have experienced that yourself and can relate to the things we will talk about. So that's Thanksgiving evening from 7 to 8, a Thanksgiving special on Thanksgiving on the farm in the 1950s. On my rural report tonight, this is a season of transition, as you can well understand. This evening really brings that home. It's a pretty chilly evening, and the first discussion of snow coming into our community. It's already, of course, been on the northern counties of the state. They've had sizable amounts of snow up there, particularly the lake effect snow. The harvests are winding down now. Much of the soybean harvest already completed. Even the corn harvests are drawing to an end. Fortunately, we had all that nice dry weather in October, and that's really speeded the harvest along. So the leaves are pretty much off. The wind the last couple of days brought the color season to an end. So I hate to see that happen, but I guess I hate even worse to see the period of darkness come upon us. I wouldn't do very well in the parts of the world that have 24 hours of darkness, I guess. So that's part of what all of us are experiencing as a transitional period. And I hope that you all have enjoyed the fall. It's been a pretty nice fall. So this week's show is going to focus on an area that's quite popular in the press right now, the idea of critical race theory. It's a central topic in all kinds of areas. Recently, the gubernatorial race in Virginia focused around that issue. There's also a lot of coverage relating to schools. Ballotopia identified 76 school districts which have had to deal with that issue in 22 states. There's a recalling of school board members. Really some pretty intense meetings going on in schools. It's raising a lot of concern for school teachers and administrators, and I've been both of those things. My guests have been a teacher in higher education, so we're very in tune with the implications of this in our culture. So we're going to focus on critical race theory tonight, what it is, and its importance and its implications. So to participate and assist me in this discussion this evening, I'd like to introduce my friend and guest, Ron Berger. Ron is an emeritus professor in sociology in the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, where he taught for 34 years. That's a career, a lifetime in education. He's published many scholarly books and articles on a variety of topics, from German fascism to the politics of identity. Thanks, Ron. Welcome to the Lay of the Land.
Well, thanks for inviting me to be on your show, Nate.
It's great to have you. So let's start our explanation with an explanation of what CRT, or critical race theory, is.
Well, critical race theory was developed in the 1970s by a group of lawyers, law professors, and civil rights activists, all of whom are African American, most notably Derrick Bell, who is a Harvard law professor. In its origin, it was actually a branch of a more general field of legal scholarship known as critical legal theory, which challenged the idea that the law was objective and above politics and bias. For example, challenging the notion that Supreme Court judges were politically neutral, unlike the claims that have recently been made by Samuel Alito and Stephen Breyer. In turn, critical race theory per se argued that the law was not neutral or colorblind with respect to matters of race, and that racism was endemic or systemic in the legal system. It challenged the view that, for example, has been expressed by the Roberts Court, that there is no longer any need for special protections against racial disenfranchisement. Discrimination in the criminal justice system is also typically offered as an example of systemic bias, although one does not need to invoke critical race theory to make that observation, which is well documented in the mainstream criminology literature. Corollary concepts of critical race theory that have proved more controversial revolve around such notions as whiteness, white privilege, implicit or unconscious bias, and microaggressions, and that implicate white people in the oppression of people of color. And a backlash against this part of it should not have been unexpected. I would add that critical race theory per se is not taught in K through 12 schools, but related controversy has emerged over how historical events such as slavery and the Civil War and the genocide of Native Americans are taught, if at all, and how, or some question if, this legacy persists in our current time. I would add, for a little further background, that critical legal theory itself may be understood as a branch of a more general critical theory that has its roots in the Frankfurt School of Philosophy in Germany in the 1930s, which produced some important work in the analysis of authoritarianism, for example. In general, critical theories of all stripes involve an inquiry into relationships of power and domination. And this is to be contrasted with more mainstream apolitical critical thinking, as opposed to critical theory. Critical thinking purports to be an objective way to evaluate the logic and evidence of arguments in order to form sound judgments about issues. It essentially involves teaching people how to think rather than what to think.
Cool. Good, great introduction, Ron. So that's a good point, I think, for us to transition. We're going to go to a little break here, and then we'll come back and we'll have some conversation. So stay tuned.
Nothing's worrying me.